This is a Collider.com audio interview.
So let me jump on in. Congrats on the movie. I laughed my ass off.
Thank you, dude. It was a fun one.
Definitely. So I don't mean to be the generic question start, but let's just jump into, you know, how quickly this thing came together for you. What was the genesis of the project?
You know, I knew the writers, Lucas and Warren, had worked with them for a while. Obviously, everybody knows them now as the writers of The Hangover. And they sent me the script. They wrote it on spec. They sent it to me. When I first heard it was a body-switching movie, I wasn't totally, like, yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody's looking to do a body-switching movie in their career, but the script was so fucking good and so funny that I was like, I have to make this movie. It was just insane, and it was, like, it was really smart, too, because aside from being funny and using the premise and the trick of the movie to great comedic effect, it was just really human and emotional and insightful about men and, you know, what the differences of being single and being married and how you view sex and how you view love and how you view relationships. And they just really succeeded in making it a really well-rounded movie. I really think they deserve most of the credit.
When you decided, yeah, I'm going to make this thing, talk a little bit about how some films are very hard to get a green light, and some films it seems like it's just a no-brainer. Was this one of these projects that when you took it around or took it to the studio, they were like, yeah, we're in?
Yeah, no, there was a bit of a bidding war on the script, and Universal obviously won it, and we sold the script for the Progress to Production deal, which means it was greenlit based on a couple of, you know, we had a short list of names, and they were like, if you can get two of the people off this list of eight names into the movie, and you can hit this budget number, you have a green light. So we were lucky we did all those things.
Well, let's jump, of course, into casting. Obviously, they're great together. Was this one of these things where you had different people read to see about chemistry, or were you sort of like, these two guys are going to be good, we got it?
I thought these two guys were a really good idea, you know, and I had gone to the studio early and initially with Bateman in mind, and was just like, I think this is a breakout role for him. And you know how a lot of times with movies, it's like, for me, I don't just look for the person that I think fits the role and is familiar. I don't actually like that. I actually want to try to find something that you go, wow, that I've never seen that person do that. Like, they're coming to see what they like from the star, but they're not doing what you've seen before. And I've never, you know, that you can see in Jason's performances and the color of his work that obviously this is something that he could do, but he just had never had it, you know, a movie that gave him the opportunity to open it up like this. So he was really the first person on. And then when we went to Ryan, he really loved the script as well. And Ryan was perfect because first of all, both guys, and I say this with all love and affection for everybody in the entertainment industry, but, you know, not all comedians are actors, and not all actors are comedians. And finding people that can do both is very, very difficult. And this movie required there to be actors as well as comedians in the movie, like guys that could really play both roles convincingly and perform them in a way where they're not imitating each other, or they have to make it realistic from the inside out. And both of these guys were a skill set at the highest skill set level to be able to do that. And then for me, Ryan, the thing that I always jumped out at me that was always shocking about how much, you know, I've always been a fan of his. And I love the character he did in Adventureland. That was like a really cool character to me. He's amazing with physical comedy, and which is really special and unique and unusual for a guy that's as good looking as he is and has that thing as well. And you know, he had a couple little moments in other movies that really stood out to me, and I thought, wow, there's so much reactionary humor in this film, and he just seemed like he'd be a really cool choice for that guy. And then, look, I only knew afterwards that the two guys knew each other. You know, that they were friends and knew each other from around, but I had no idea when we casting that they would have that, but I think that also helped with some of the chemistry in the movie.
Oh, no, definitely. I didn't know that they were friends either. I spoke to them both yesterday, and they're both funny in, you know, real life, so I can't even imagine trying to direct them.
Oh, I know. It was a lot of fun. Well, look, luckily, again, you know, we had a great blueprint. It is such a luxury in the comedy side of filmmaking to have a script that works. Most of the time, you have a script that kind of works, and you go out there, and you fix it as you go, and it's a great idea, and everyone gets the idea, and there's some standout scenes, but there's a lot of work to be done. And this script was really fully, very well formed, and it allowed us to go into the process just trying to plus it. And, you know, I got the opportunity to go into rehearsals just listening to them and taking some of their ideas and helping, you know, massage them into the existing script in a way that was going to continue to elevate it. And they each brought a lot of stuff to the movie, you know, as far as lines here and there and ideas. And, you know, it was a really fun collaboration between all of us.
Something that made me just laugh a lot in the theater and also the rest of the audience was a lot of the scenes with the babies. Could you sort of talk about doing those shots? You know, baby knocking his head, et cetera, the kitchen scene.
The babies is really cool in the script. And it wasn't until, you know, you go to shoot it that you're like, oh, fuck, how am I going to do this? You know, and, you know, we had something like 4 sets of twins to bring in and out and do different shots with. And on day one, I looked at my, you know, producer, and I was like, dude, I'm going to have to shoot the real babies for the whole thing. You can see who they are. There's no over the shoulders and stuff. And that sounded like a catastrophe. We had to revamp the entire shoot schedule to accommodate shooting the babies every morning between 7 and 10 when they were fresh, and then shooting other stuff for the rest of the day. So it was really hard. It's obviously a combination of in-camera tricks, training the babies to do certain things that you've never seen before, which is not easy because then they figure it out and they get bored and they won't do it again. And then, and obviously visual effects and some other stuff that, you know, help you get there.
No, totally. I'm always a fan of, what's your take on extended editions of movies and deleted scenes? Like, for example, on this thing, did you guys cut a lot of stuff out that might be in an extended edition, or...
There were some really funny scenes that we cut out of the movie, but they cut them out because the better, look, there's no doubt in my mind when I release a movie that the theatrical version is the best version, and I've been lucky that I've never been forced to make a cut to a film that I haven't wanted to make. Good, bad, and ugly, by the way. Sometimes you fall on the sword over that, and sometimes you win. But this movie really is the best version. It is, quote-unquote, a director's cut, you know what I mean? Everyone's had their influence and their collaboration, but I've been fortunate to be able to interpret what's there as what I think is best. Now, I think extended cuts are really fun. It really bums me out that a lot of people believe that, like, look, even a movie like Wedding Crashers, they believe that the extra 10 minutes that are in there, that there are people that see for the first time and think that's the movie. And I don't like that. I demand that the theatrical version of the movie is always available on the disc as with the extended or unrated version, whatever they try to call it, to sell more DVDs. And I'm not a huge fan of it, but at the same time, people have become more and more interested in the world of filmmaking and the making of movies, and, you know, it is fun to have some of those scenes out there. You know, there's a couple scenes in this movie that are insane. I mean, they're really funny. Unfortunately, they tripped up the tracking, especially in a movie with body switching, where characters are switching and you have to keep all that clear. Some scenes just tripped up the tracking of the characters. That's why they had to come out, because you're like, well, that doesn't really make sense with where that character's going. But the scenes were hilarious. I mean, there's a scene where Bateman and Leslie Mann almost have sex, and it's really, really funny. But it couldn't fit into the trajectory of what the storytelling was.
So you're telling me there's 5-10 minutes of stuff that'll be on the DVD?
Yes, there is. It's 7.5.
Yeah, there you go. So I definitely want to ask you, switching gears a little bit, I'm fascinated with all the crap that, not crap, all the stuff you're producing. It's like I looked over your resume.
You can't call it crap.
No, I mean, please, I'm really excited about Jack the Giant Killer.
Yeah.
And also RIPD.
You know, but
I'm just, yeah. That's just a bad term. That's the way I fuck up. But
dude,
like,
I call everybody kids and I say fuck incessantly. You can, I know what you meant. Dude, listen, the truth of the matter is I'm in Hollywood because of Star Wars. You know, I saw that movie when I was 8 years old and that was what I came here to make. And somewhere along my road, the first commercials I got a chance to direct were these spec commercials, and they were comedy, and they was the first thing I could get, and they won awards. And so from there on out, I ended up following a comedy trajectory, which I love, by the way. I'm a huge, huge Richard Pryor fan, and Lenny Bruce, and 48 Hours is seminal for me. And so I love the R-rated comedy thing has been huge for me in my life as well. But there was another part of me that is, as a storyteller, and I originally thought I was coming to Hollywood as a writer, has always been wanting to develop that stuff. So after Wedding Crashers, I started to get involved, and RIPD and Jack the Giant Killer were the first two things that I set up with intentions of, stepping into a bigger tentpole arena for various reasons of my availability and different things that were happening at different times. I wasn't able to board those projects when they were ready, and it was very hard to see for that to happen. But as a director, I was able to board it. But I have stayed involved as a producer, and I continue to build out those movies and be supportive of them. Brian is an incredible get for that movie, Jack the Giant Killer, and he, I can tell you from seeing dailies, it's amazing. It's just amazing, and the design work and stuff on that film is incredible. It is a world no one's ever seen before. And RIPD was something that was very personal to me after having lost my father, and I wanted to make a movie about life and death and create a love story across those lines and those boundaries. And I went and Ori Marmer and Neil introduced me to the comic, and I took it as a launching pad, and sat down with Broadman Freddie and Hay onto the movie, and we over the number of years we pumped that script out, and it was something 2 years ago that Ryan had come to me interested in, and we couldn't make it work out at that time for various reasons, and it was great that he got his way back into the movie, and Jeff Bridges is absolutely perfect for that role, and it couldn't be at a more perfect time in Jeff's career. But that script is amazing, and I'm very proud of it, and I'm glad that that movie's getting made as well. And then, for me, I'm finally getting to get into the chair behind one of these because of my King Arthur movie at Warner Brothers.
Well, I was going to say to you, what's up with that?
So I sat down and wrote one. Aside from developing them with other writers for a number of years, I had this idea for almost a decade about how to reinvent it, and I sat down and I wrote that script, and over the last few years, and it went out to the town about a month ago, and there was a, I'm sure it's been in the trades and everything, so there was a big bidding war for it, and Warner scooped it up, and they said we'll make it right away, so we are in the process of casting and crewing up the movie, and we're off to the races. We're looking at a sometime in the first quarter, hopefully January, start for that.
That's I'm sure you're ecstatic.
I'm totally ecstatic. It's gonna be so much fun.
Is it
it's really cool?
Is it on the level of like one of these big tentpole kind of things? I mean, like
it is. It's got a foot in somewhere between Sherlock Holmes and I don't know what. I don't know what you would call it. And, there's just, look, I love Excalibur as a kid. I just never, I watched it as an adult. It's hard for it to hold up because of the special effects and all that. And it's never really had an opportunity. The great thing about fantasy films now, and what was so thrilling about, for me, with Lord of the Rings and, everyone who loved that genre, I mean, it's almost, I grew up with all these comic book heroes and all these, Dungeons and Dragons and all this fantasy stuff, and visual effects have finally had their moment when you can create those worlds for real, and it's never been the opportunity has never been this cool, and so it's really exciting as an audience member and also as a filmmaker to jump into that arena and get to play in there.
Are you doing is it PG-13?
It is PG-13.
Are you shooting in 3D? Are you post-converting in 3D or no 3D?
Right now, there's no plan for 3D. You know, the studio may want to discuss that at some point in the future. You know, I respect Chris Nolan for holding to his guns.
I do too, actually.
Really? What? There are times when it's great. Look, I really loved Avatar. I really did. He helped me get over the 3D as a gimmick concept. I think the thing I'm the most excited to see is Great Gatsby in 3D. I think that Baz Luhrmann's going to do something insane.
I was going to say, just my own personal take, Avatar is an animated movie, and for me, all the animated films are incredible in 3D, but
yeah.
I have yet to be blown away by live-action 3D.
I don't like it, man. It just doesn't feel natural, and it feels like too many people have pushed it too hard. It's like, it's really weird. It's like, you do want to do something with it, right? If you're going to do it, do it, but you also can't make it the focal point of the storytelling and make it self-conscious. It's really weird. It just, it hasn't been convincing to me, and I found it, look, I loved Thor as a movie. I felt like they didn't push it too far with the 3D, but honestly, I probably would have preferred to have just seen it in 2D.
Yeah, I didn't think the 3D conversion on that was all that. I just saw Captain America, and the 3D on that was not bad for post-conversion.
I'm psyched to see it, but I'm probably going to go 2D on that one, man.
I'm not knocking that at all.
I know, I just like, you know what, there's nothing better than being in a great-looking movie. It's, you know, are they doing Hobbit 3D?
He is shooting at 48 frames a second and in 3D.
Oh, that's right, he's doing that whole, that's right, I remember.
Yeah, I'm putting myself in this thing, but I saw Cameron did this presentation at CinemaCon, formerly Show West, and I saw the frame rate thing, the 60 frames a second that he demoed, and it was like taking, he said this, and it's really accurate, it was like taking the glass out of the window.
That's amazing. I mean, look, it's. I can't remember. There was something I had seen shot at 60 once before a few years ago, a test that was pretty astounding. I couldn't tell if it was going to cross over and feel like video because it was so crisp. You know, it wasn't, but it felt like it could fall into that. You know, look, there's guys that shoot video now that I'm. You know, I thought Social Network looks fantastic, and although I would, you know, not have the balls to do it still.
Yeah, I mean, I do think, though, that it'll be very interesting as this frame rate thing becomes a ongoing learning. Like, as people start doing this frame rate thing, it'll be very interesting how it goes, because I'm telling you, the 60 frames a second is jaw-dropping. And then he was showing how you could down-convert 60 frames to 24 frames, and there was, like, no motion blur in action. The issue is that audiences are used to that blur, and when you don't provide it, it's almost so real that, you know, it's hard.
Jarring.
Yeah, it's
but people will just have to figure out how to shoot it again. I mean, it's a little bit like, by the way, motion blur is what we rely on in visual effects.
Exactly.
You can't even do, I mean, imagine what you would have to do in Transformers if you didn't have motion blur. I mean, half of what you're seeing, you're not seeing.
Well, that's exactly it.
It's still a magic trick. It's all sleight of hand still.
Yeah, Cameron was saying that directors will be able to pick and choose their moments, because the truth is, when you're walking across a plane with, you know, in The Hobbit, and you can see this stuff in 48 frames a second, it's going to look insane. And then the action stuff, bring it back to 24, use movie magic.
Yeah, that's cool. Dude, look, I'm digging it. I like anything that's going to keep taking it. Cinema has to remain an experience.
Absolutely. I want to jump back and I want to ask you another question about the Arthur thing. How much is that based on the legend, and how much are you sort of putting yourself into this thing?
I pulled the legend apart. I only kept a few things. You know, I kept certain characters. I recreated the entire launch of the legend and why it starts the way that it starts. I don't want to give away too much, but it's always had a flaw. You know, I pulled the flaws out. I reinvented the characters as grounded characters. I took a much more realistic and grounded approach towards everybody. You know, why would this character be this way, and why would that character be that way? You know, why? You know, what is it that makes Arthur, what is it that, you know, Arthur's superpower is compassion and vision, you know? And I will tell you this, it is the whole thing is wrapped around the birth of democracy as a concept, and it's positing Arthur as the first man to say all men are created equal.
Are you shooting that in L.A., or are you going to, like, Europe to shoot it?
Shooting in London.
That everyone seems to be shooting in London now.
With the big visual effects movies, it's a real big help, because while you're shooting, you can have the work in the pipeline and things, and you're there to see it and do it. You know, I've shot there twice. I've had a great experience in London both times. But and the tax rebate is significant, and it works in a way that's percentage-wise often more advantageous than some of the tax breaks that are happening here in stateside.
No, I understand. Now, are you also producing the Vacation reboot?
I am.
And what's...
Oh, my God, dude, this script came out so good. It's crazy.
Well, I was going to say, what is...
It's not a total reboot, by the way. It's a reboot of the franchise, but it's Rusty's story. It's so, not trying to start again from zero.
So you're basically coming at it where he's growing up and doing the same thing to his family.
He's grown up, yeah, but it's great because it's all about how you make the mistakes that your father made, that your parents made. It's so smart. It's really, and it's insanely funny. The guys that wrote Horrible Bosses, Goldstein and Daly wrote it. And we're just about to go out for casting for that.
Oh, so that thing's pretty close. So that thing's moving forward.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're making it.
Is it still Wally World?
To be determined. TBD. This is one of the things that we was on the phone with New Line. Actually, this week we were discussing about the destination at the end of the. In some ways, it works brilliantly, and then obviously for other reasons, it may or may not. But it's really cool. It's insanely funny. I was. You know, we all went into this loving. Look, one of the things I love about the original movie is comedies overall do not stand up over time. The sense of comedy changes in each generation. But Vacation is still as shocking and as funny as it was when it was made. It's still, there's stuff in that movie that you would think was insane today. Daddy taught me how to French kiss. I mean, there's just things that are insane. It's off its head, and it's like, it makes it legitimate to be readdressed.
Yeah, no,
there?
No, I'm totally there.
Okay, dude. So that's why I went for it, because I really loved it, and I just loved the themes of that movie. I mean, the whole thing about how, you know, family is so fucked up, and you're just trying to, you know, all of our good memories are somehow memories only in the photographs. The real experiences are all on the borderline of being horrendous. It's just a great universal truth in that thing. And they destroyed the franchise in the second and third movie, but the first is an absolutely brilliant piece of filmmaking.
Now, of course, I have to ask, is there a role for Chevy? Is the idea that he may or may not be in the movie?
I absolutely have to take the fifth on that.
I cannot
answer it.
I respectfully understand why you would not want to reveal that he is in the movie, but obviously he's on such a rebound.
You and I have a very good understanding.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, he's on such a roll right now with Community, which is one of the best shows on television.
No, I know. He's amazing. And it's great. It's fucking retarded that he made it back. I love how these old guys keep coming back and doing it, you know?
Yeah. I'm a huge fan of his, but Community is just really just a whole nother level of amazing. So,
No, it's super smart. Yeah. All right, buddy, I got to jump. They're trying to pull me away.
I'll leave you be, but listen, man, I look forward to visiting you on the set of your Arthur movie, and I really do mean it, man. I loved your movie. I laughed my ass off.
Dude, thank you very much, man. And I love the site. I you are one of the only things that I have on my bookmarked on my iPad, and I'm there every day. So I'm psyched that you liked it, number one, and that you're going to be involved with us in letting people know.
Oh no, definitely, dude. And again, thanks. You have a great afternoon.